about privacy concerns. They're becoming a big focus for the world in the last few years as the law tries to catch up with advances in technology that have just been going by so fast, it's very hard to do so. Last week, the federal court narrowed the definition of what is deemed personal information. It's now determined by whether a person can be identified from the data or not. To find out what that means, I'm joined by Dr. Jake Goldenfein from the Swinburne University of Technology. Thank you for joining me, Jake.
My pleasure.
So what does this new definition of personal information actually mean?
Well, that's a very good question. And in fact, the decision that recently came down from the federal court doesn't give a lot of information about what the definition actually is, what the standard of the definition is. But what it did do was introduce a new test for what constitutes personal information. So now, in Australia, in order for information to be protected by the relevant privacy legislation to be personal information, it has to be first about a person, and second, the person has to be identifiable from that information. Now, the new focus on this question that the information must be about a person is this still sort of somewhat nebulous one, but it is understood to be a bit narrow because we do have one definition of what about means from the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, which was the tribunal that dealt with the Ben Grubb case before the federal court, and they've given it a very narrow definition.
And how is this different from the previous definition? What sort of things might this open up as not personal information that were previously considered to be?
Well, the case started when Ben Grubb was seeking access, as you're entitled to under the privacy legislation, with respect to personal information, that is, seeking access to the metadata that would be supplied to law enforcement under metadata retention laws. Now, Telstra refused, and this court case happened, and in the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, the decision, which is still good law because the subsequent appeal was dismissed, the tribunal decided that about is a really important part of the definition of personal information, and they said for information to be about a person, a member of the general public using publicly available information needs to be able to identify a person from that information. So in this case, the sort of ISP address, geolocation data and list of visited URLs didn't satisfy that definition. So those categories of metadata held by Telstra weren't deemed personal information and thus weren't protected by privacy law.
And so this change, what's the aim behind it? So what's this being motivated by?
Well, it's hard to say there's a motivation for the change because the case came up on a clarification of what the law means and what it facilitates. So we can't ascribe to the decision any sort of political motivation. The court gave a very legalistic and a very sort of black letter narrow interpretation of the statute. So, you know, we can't try and draw out a political motivation behind the court's action. What might be interesting to see now is if the Privacy Commissioner pushes for a change in the definition of personal information, which would hopefully make that definition a bit more broad and bring us in line with countries, with other countries in the world, particularly with the European standards.
So, talking of those standards, how do we currently compare to the rest of the world?
Well, presently, I mean, we're pretty poor. Our privacy or data privacy legislation is pretty weak. You can't sort of bring an action against someone for breaching your data privacy rights. You have to make a complaint to the Privacy Commissioner, and then that complaint might subsequently take you through the tribunal and court process. We also don't have any constitutional rights. In Europe, there's a constitutional right to privacy and there's a constitutional right to data protection, and that seems to really be influencing how certain national and supranational laws are being interpreted. For instance, in December, a case came down in the European Constitutional Court that said because of this right to privacy and right to data protection, you really can't do mandatory data retention in Europe anymore unless it's very, very narrowly circumscribed.
So Jake, I suppose one question, it may seem obvious, but why is it so important to protect our privacy? Why is this such a necessary thing, even given, you know, given current technological levels and how we interact with the world?
That's a really good question, and it's one that comes up a lot. Why should we care about it? And I think that when we think, most people think when it comes to privacy stuff, what the main concern is the movement of data between parties. And I kind of think that that horse has bolted a little bit. But in the Ben Grubb case, Ben Grubb wasn't seeking to prevent that metadata being given to law enforcement. He just wanted to know what that data was. And I think there's something to be said for this idea of access to data and transparency of data, because these, you know, our data, this massive data that we produce as we move through the world, is analyzed in certain ways, and it produces inferences about our behavior. And often those inferences and those sort of decisions based on our data alone stand in for decisions based on knowledge systems that have a stronger connection to reality. So I think it's really important that we have the right to at least be a little bit vigilant to see what data is being used for these decisions, how those decisions are being made, and what the conclusions are. What are the decisions being made about me on the basis of the data that I've produced? And I think that that is really the value of privacy in a highly datafied world.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Jake, for joining us this morning to speak about.